The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or that woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. God, we ask that you send your light, your love, and your fire to enlighten our hearts, our minds, and our imaginations. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's see. I love Paul. The ego is so unbelievable. Not only is he the most faithful, he's even the worst sinner. He's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm doing it big. I'm like, awesome. But we're not talking about Paul today. We're going to talk about something cheerier. We're talking about sin. No. I don't know about you, but is there anybody in here who has never done anything that probably wasn't within the confines of the will of God? Anybody ever sin, do anything? Yes, David. Other than David, anybody else ever? Yeah. Perfection is his burden. It's just true. We all get away from that path that we know we're supposed to be on. And for me, that is the definition of sin. When we turn away from the will of God, when we turn away from what God has created us to be and who to be and what to do, and we just kind of get lost in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own lives. And that, for me, is what sin is about. It's about turning your back on the will of God. And repentance is taking that 180-degree turn and returning to that path, the path that they referred to in the Old Testament as the path of righteousness. I'm not super comfortable with the word righteous. Other than David, very few of us are. But back to that path of rightness. That path of rightness. So sin is about being lost for me. It's being lost in the wilderness of life. As I was thinking about this week, I kept coming up with story after story after story from my life and the lives of people I know and love that had to do with being lost. And I want to share three quick ones with you. Well, they're really long stories, but I'll try to make them short because I'm super good at that. Who's ever been to Common Ground Fair in Unity, Maine? Seriously? Okay. It's in Unity, Maine, which is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It's gorgeous, and it's the world's largest organic food and farming festival. It is the quintessential anecdote. It's the opposite of the Big E. It's clean, it's calm, the food's healthy. It's a really wonderful visit. If you ever get a chance to go, go. You can just go on their website. They hold it every year. Actually, I know Ben's been a number of times, but he's not here today. So when Robbie, who is now 30, Priscilla and I's oldest child, was three, we went to the Common Ground for the first time. 10,000 people, right? Huge farm. I mean, it handles the crowd really well, but it's still 10. Now it's even more than that. But then it was about 10,000 people that day. And we're having a great time. We're watching, you know, the ox pull, and they have all this lumberjack stuff, which I love. And, you know, it's just a really cool event. And it's lunchtime, and Priscilla finds a nice place for our nice young family to sit and have lunch, and Robbie's with her, and I go up to this tent. It's all organic food, but yes, I can find organic sausage. And so they're having this beautiful food. And somewhere in the midst of this happening, Robbie pulls away from Priscilla to go be with me. And poof, he's gone. 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Think about it. Place is set up for it. Kids everywhere. So we immediately find somebody. They say, stand exactly where you were the last time you saw him. We'll use our walkie-talkies, get out there, and let people know what's going on. Describe what he looks like, you know, what he's wearing. And 45 minutes later, this woman walks up to us with Robbie, holding Robbie, hands him to Priscilla. Priscilla grabs him, and boom, the woman's gone. Never had a chance to thank her. We were too tied up in all this. You know, we're, 26 years old, lost kid. Priscilla, to this day, will tell you her very first thought was, oh, God, Bob's mother's going to kill me. And she was a big Robbie fan. But it's just, even hearing the story, it just makes you kind of sick, doesn't it? You know, that whole idea of being lost, it's such a visceral feeling. I had a friend in seminary, where I went to seminary, Virginia Seminary. For some reason, the year I was there, there was a large number of second career military officers, guys who had done their 20 and then they had gone to seminary. Their wives all said it's because they couldn't get dressed without a uniform. And so one of the guys in my class he retired as a lieutenant colonel, I believe, but he had been a young lieutenant in Vietnam. He's a little bit older than me. And he'd been a young lieutenant in Vietnam. He was in country, and they're marching at night, but they can't use flashlights because they don't want the enemy to see where they are. So they have these little fluorescent dots on the back of their helmets, and you just follow the dot in front of you. Long line of people. John's in the very front, and all of a sudden he smack dab runs into a tree, and he realizes he's fallen asleep. And he has no idea how far he's walked or where they are that he's been asleep. They've just all been following. They're just wiped out. They're lost. They're lost in the middle of the Vietnamese jungle, in the middle of a war zone. They have no idea where they are, and their leader is 21 years old. Again, it just makes you sick to think about that reality. They made it out. Last one, a little bit lighter story. So, as most of you know, I did the Camino de Santiago again this year, walked a little over 1,000 kilometers from over the Pyrenees in France, across Spain. Ask me why, I have no actual idea whatsoever. People said to me, why are you doing this again? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm glad I did. And the Camino has a very well-marked trail. And the original trail comes up every now and then, but the new path, the new way, goes through villages where it used to go around them. One, so that you get the services you need, but it's also good for local commerce. And it's actually supporting all of northern Spain. And it's doing it quite well. One day I was walking by myself most of the time, and I found myself on one of the old paths. And the way you know is that the signs have the shell, and then it says alternative route in Spanish, which Gallegos is. Okay, great. And I can read it, can't say it. But so I'm like, ugh, all right. Well, it's still a good path, I'll just stay on it. I was not there on purpose. I just kind of gotten off. And then I realized it's been an hour and I haven't seen another human being. And I don't mean another pilgrim, I seen another human being. Not a farmer, nothing. I'm just walking and walking and walking. And every now and then you'd be like, when was the last time I saw a trail marker? Oh, God, where am I? And just about when that anxiety would start to build, you would see an old one hidden behind a bush, because they don't maintain the alternative routes anymore. They don't maintain the markers. And some have fallen over or whatever, which is very unusual because the rest of the thing is marked beautifully. And one day, I spent 3 hours walking, never to see another person. Not a farmer, nobody. I saw a coyote, I saw a fox, I saw some cranes, I saw a bunch of other birds, I saw all kinds of things. I didn't even see a dog. Nothing domestic whatsoever. And just the vulnerability of being in that place was really, I'm not a very vulnerable person, at least not physically vulnerable. I'm emotionally very vulnerable. But no, I'm not a physically very vulnerable person. It's not an anxiety amongst my anxieties. But it was. It was really bad that day. And I did one thing that I only did twice the whole time. I pull out my GPS, and I look at my phone screen. It is a white screen with a blue dot in the middle of it. I am the blue dot. The phone is of no use. Well, I knew where the sun was when I got started in the morning. I'll just keep walking in the right direction. And I walked and I walked and walked. So like I said, 3 hours. Finally came to the village that I could see in a distance that I was spending the night at. Whew. But it really was. It was a weird feeling, particularly one that I don't have a lot. I walk everywhere. I have no problems walking in what people consider dangerous neighborhoods, spend a lot of time in the third world. I kept thinking to myself, what is different today? And it was that I was lost and that I was alone. And for me, that's what the experience of getting off the path of God is like. It's an anxiety that you're losing control, that you're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing, that you're having thoughts you shouldn't be having, that you're not, you know what's right and yet you do it wrong. My father used to say to me, Bob, it's okay to make mistakes and learn lessons, but can we try a different lesson from time to time? But isn't it true? I mean, the mistakes that you make in your life, don't you find you just repeat the same ones over and over and over again? We don't make lots of different kinds of errors in our lives. We just do the same ones over and over and over again. And we can talk about, family track, and we can talk about all kinds, family systems and all that kind of stuff. But we're not going to do that today. But it is a reality in all of our lives. It's this getting off the path that is what we're calling sin. Getting away from doing what we know to be what we were created and who we were created to be. It's when we forget who we are and whose we are. It's when the exhaustion, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual exhaustion of life just becomes too much. And we forget. We forget that we're the beloved of God. We forget that we have important people in our lives. We forget that we're talented. We forget that we have gifts. We just forget. It just is too much. Who doesn't think life is hard? Anybody here think life's really easy? That's over the age of 5? Life is really hard. It's wonderful, but it's really hard. I had a friend who used to say, getting married and having kids is like life. It's 10 times worse than you ever thought it was going to be and 100 times better. But it's hard. And doing it alone is even harder. It's like that getting lost alone. It's an entirely different experience. And the exhaustion of life, whether it be just from day-to-day living or the pursuit of the newest, largest, shiniest thing, whatever it is, we get off the path. We get off track. And that's where community comes in. That's where the community comes in. Community of faith is called to be the heart and hands of Jesus in the world. And I would suggest also the search party from time to time. It is the community's responsibility and joy to be with us in those times of failure, in those times of getting lost, to walk the path together. I mean, hopefully you have these people in your life. I mean, when things aren't going right, when you're not being your best self, there's almost always someone. When you're a priest, it's too many people like to point it out. But there's always somebody who can kind of help steer you back. I mean, it's why I'm a true believer in marriage. Because to walk the path intentionally with another is just a gift. And for people who don't have that gift in their lives, they have other gifts. They have gifts of friendship. gifts of familial love. But to recognize that we're not in this, that we are in this together, that we're not in this alone. So that when we do get off that path, when we get lost in our own spiritual, physical, mental exhaustion, we have people who can prop us up. That's who Jesus calls us to be. That's who Jesus calls us to be. One of the things I love about this gospel reading, it's not so much, you know, he lost his 99 sheep, he goes looking for, he lost his one sheep, he loses his 99. First you think, well, why would he leave 99 and then lose them when he's found his one? Well, sheep don't work like that. They're pack animals. They all stay together. So it's safe to do that. You know, the woman who loses the coin and she does everything she needs to do to find it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I lose stuff around the house. Well, I don't really lose stuff around the house. My wife puts stuff away and then doesn't tell me where it is, which is actually hiding, not putting things away. But, you know, when you lose stuff, you know, sometimes you're like, I need my wallet. And you do whatever you need to do to get your wallet, right? And so, but what I love about this gospel, it's not so much those images, although they're great images. It's what happens afterwards. It's that idea of the joy of finding the one who is lost. It's the joy that God shares with us when we are on the right path. Now, God's love is unconditional, but joy, probably not so much. I mean, you know that feeling when you find your wallet, right? There's relief. There's a little bit of joy. There's a, okay, now I can go do what I need to do. Think about it in the terms of, if that's you and your wallet, your creator and you being found. Amp that up. Multiply that by whatever that multiple is, whatever that gospel math is. And then to participate in that joy is what makes life and relationship worth it. It's what makes life and relationship worth the work. God created us to become who we are becoming. But we got to do some work. Because I don't know about you, I think sin's pretty easy. Selfishness, narcissism, you know, I'm a little bit of a control freak, you might have heard. You know, oh, don't you laugh, Fatty. but, you know, but it's easy. Repentance is not. Getting back on that path is not. It's so much easier when we do it together. Amen.